The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The voice of one crying.
Let's be on our feet. Let's just prepare our hearts. Let's come before the Lord. Let's just pray in the Spirit. Let's tear ourselves up. Let's pray. Ida barato brehele Maria kabrehele meno sobroho debe kebrata pariata brehele bedebe nahash. You know, the fire had started from yesterday. So let's connect with what has started yesterday already. Ele barato brehele na kabrehato mehem brotekele brehata babadia brekata papariate mehash. Ina mano solo bronde libra ha de boko brehele brode be de brehe de baba baka proto brodo do shaba de brede kapati brahash. Megiza bahadi kaham brote li kapani no shabada. Hebina na hando rosa bredi kaparia tobeshe de bahande kobreti la kaparias. Veri koskia hendri kash. Hi kaparis kopeni sopali da bandre to bede behash. Hembro do shababa di kapati koposka belia brede bahash. Oh, we want to mount up with beings like eagles already. For them that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Jedi kapara sobrende kash. Hibro beti kapani nos kapeli kapara do sobroho do behele mahash. Regi bani nos sabali bana mahandro sebeli kapa. Hezhebanas bere nos kobayash. Hila boro sobrende bedia brandos kabadia bodash. There's a mount up with beings like eagles. Hababa di kapaba shada brediko borodo do shabretos imbro se braske brote li brahendre sapash mezugo bando shebenash kiko rose brede kalaha brahanino se bredia bahas rete de 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 baba 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 They shall run and not grow weary. Radical power, yes, power. As you did the back up, like a pocket, 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 like a lift up your voice, sound the alarm, do not hold back, do not be quiet. And the spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he outran the chariot of Ahab. Shedika po bashipa, hindo rose di kapanis, rete de 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 ba 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 lakapos, hindo razi lahandesh, hindo redi kapani kaporo kapesh, rete de 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 shabada. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Zalido sabanis. Him brought us up or us a hush. Jeketeketeka papa loco hush. Radebobe siba no venus. Endomaya shabedash. Radica papa loco hush. Rezoninus. In the man has shabede. Hello papa loco belega hush. Vezetete papa bayas. Maradeboyas. Heretica payas. Ida dos oponas. For you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, and to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to the innumerable company of angels, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven, to the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Rabbe,
Father, we look to you. We look to you. Our eyes are lifted to you because our redemption draws near. Our redemption draws near. Say, my redemption draws near.
My redemption draws near.
Our redemption draws near.
Our redemption draws near.
Our God will come. Yes, abragada.
Our God will come.
And will not be silent.
A fire devours before him.
And around him a tempest rages.
He summons the heavens above.
And the earth.
That he may judge his people.
Gather to me this consecrated people.
Who made a covenant with me by sacrifice.
Take your seat. Yesterday, we began to look at the fire of God and how to prepare. Today, we'll look a bit more and pray a bit more. We've already started to pray, and God will hear our prayers. If you ask according to His will, He hears you. And you know, if He hears you, whatever you ask, you know that you have the petitions that you have asked of Him. The book of Nahum, well, let me tell you a story first. So I'm praying this morning, and while on my knees, I pick my tab, put it on to check. I can't remember what I want to check. Either some prophetic word, something. And I see a news headline, and it says, Dead Sea Scrolls discovered. Now, the Dead Sea Scrolls are the parchments that were discovered in the 60 plus years ago, but about the 40s. In the 40s or so, they discovered old parchments with scripture. So scripture parchments, what you call the Bible, is gotten from ancient writings, the Codex Sinaiticus, the Codex this, Alexandrianicus, all sorts of names. But, oh, this document was found in Egypt, in Alexandria. This one was found in Sinai. This one was found different places. And they bring it together and people translate. They translate it to Latin. And they called it the Latin Vulgate. Vulgate because vulgar. Because the language was not the classical Roman language. It was the common people's language. Latin Vulgate. All sorts of things. But the point is that the Dead Sea Scrolls were found about 60 years ago, further than that. And it confirmed the existing scriptures. You know, they were already scriptures, had been for thousands of years. But to find a whole bunch of books of the Bible, a lot, in one place, the caves of Qumran, found by a Bedouin, a desert dweller, an Arab, you know, it was the biggest find, and people were excited everywhere. Oh, yes, now we can confirm those manuscripts we've been using. Let's see what was said. We are sure that this was written by Jews from the times of Jesus. We are sure. From the times after Jesus, we are sure. Around the fall of Rome, when there was all that rebellion, Jerusalem fell, people ran to that mountainous region. So let's confirm. And it confirmed so much. And people were able to say, oh, we can update our manuscripts. Because the thing with finding old manuscripts, you're always wondering, how do you know it's not a forgery? How do you know it's not a fake? How do you know it's not useless? How do you know it's correct? How precise do you think it is? So the closer you can find something to the original time and season, you're a bit more certain that, so when you're comparing, okay, we found one copy in Egypt, found one copy in Ethiopia, and you find this one here and you compare and it's all similar, you're more certain that, oh, even many years ago, there weren't that many mistakes. Remember, they used to write by hand. So there's always the error. Someone makes, if you see in Hebrew or anything, just a slight dash or mistake, it can change the meaning of the word. Okay. The point that's interesting to me is that today I see that 1 week ago, last Tuesday, they made it known, oh, we found a new cache of Dead Sea Scrolls in a cave, referred to a cave of horrors, very hard to access, you know, and they accessed it and they found some documents, some manuscripts. Again, this is the first time in 60 years that they are finding anything. As far as I know, when they find the last one, if I'm not mistaken, about the time they found that is about the time the Israeli community came together. It's also about the same time the outpouring of the Spirit came. In the move of God, what they call the Latter Rain Revival, 1947-48, around the same time the Blood Moon, etc., tetrad occurred, the four eclipses. 67. I think there was another. There was another blood moon tetrad, you know, and so on. Me seeing it, you know, the way I saw it, I just gave you that small background for those who have no idea. You know, and you might say, what's the big deal? I just told you it's a big deal. Discoveries are a big deal. When things are found, even the timing of when it's found, a big deal. God hides things and allows them to be revealed at certain times. When it's revealed, usually matters. That there's a revelation of something in the physical often speaks. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, first the natural, then the spiritual. It usually is that if there's something in the natural, something is going to happen in the spirit. Now, this is NBC, a normal news outfit, news media outfit. It's not a Christian website, anything. What interested me is that they said they found majorly, it seems, portions of the book of Nahum and the book of Zechariah. Not too long ago, I don't know what setting was, but I talked about from the book of Zechariah where it says that a woman, now this might mean nothing, I'm just sharing, it's interesting, that a woman, how many of you have read it, was put in a basket with a lead cover and taken to Shinar, which is in Babylon. Where did I share this? Did everyone hear me say it? So, where do you say it was? Everyone? I said it with everyone. Oh, good. I don't know if it means anything. But they found in the cave, I saw the pictures, a mummified, they believe it was a young girl, about 11 or 12, mummified, you know, wrapped. And they found a basket that was perfectly preserved. A basket. And they found parchments from Nahum and Zechariah. I was just thinking, okay, basket, female, scraps from Zechariah. And these people put a verse of the Bible from that Nahum in their news article and said that, oh, it's interesting to see how it compares to some of the existing translation. A slight difference in how it's said. And they quoted the Bible, this non-Christian thing. And I copied it. Nahum 1 verse 5 to 6. This is exactly what they posted. It's the only Bible verse they posted. But they picked it from the findings. And they put it in there. The mountains quake because of him. And the hills melt. The earth heaves. Lifts itself. Before him. The world and all that dwell therein, who can stand before his wrath? Who can resist his fury? His anger pours out like fire, and rocks are shattered because of him. That verse, the way it is written there, was what was discovered in those caves and was in that news article I read today. Why did they quote a passage on fire? I'm sure they found more. You know, now, of course, we were here yesterday, beware, you heard in tuning. You heard me say, I had different things to share. I'll share a bit more today. Yesterday, we barely started. We talked about the fire of God, how to prepare as an individual so the fire can rest on you. And I spoke about how the fire is in two dimensions. There's a fire you want. You want to be a living sacrifice. You want to be an attractor of fire, so that everything around you can burn. If you are a sacrifice on the altar, when the fire comes, it won't just burn you. It won't rest on only you. It will rest on even the stones and the sand and the water. But he needs the one that will attract him. And that's the sacrifice. In that instance with Elijah, the sacrifice of obedience Elijah had provided. If he had not obeyed, the fire would not fall. Talked about Solomon obeying and building the temple. The fire fell also. Almighty Jesus. Nahum 1, 5, and 6. Let me read it in NIV. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. We are writing, write again, Psalm 97, verse 1 to 6. This one was one of the passages I had hoped to read yesterday, and all the rest I'll be reading. I intended to share them yesterday. Listen to how they are exactly like Nahum. Just the same statement by a different prophet. Psalm 97, 1 to 6. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all peoples see his glory. Psalm 50, verse 1 to 6. The mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me this consecrated people, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness. For he is a God of justice. Isaiah 33, verse 10 to 17. Now will I arise, says the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I be lifted up. You conceive chaff. You give birth to straw. Your breath is a fire that consumes you. The peoples will be burned to ashes. Like cut thorn bushes, they will be set ablaze. You who are far away, hear what I have done. You who are near, acknowledge my power. The sinners in Zion are terrified. Trembling grips the godless. Who of us can dwell with the consuming fire? Who of us can dwell with everlasting burning? Those who walk righteously and speak what is right, who reject gain from extortion and keep their hands from accepting bribes, who stop their ears against plots of murder and shut their eyes against contemplating evil. They are the ones who will dwell on the heights, whose refuge will be the mountain fortress. Their bread will be supplied, and water will not fail them. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty and view a land that stretches afar. Did you hear how all those passages sounded similar? They didn't sound similar to you? In all of them, God was arising, and fire was involved. Fire was involved in everything. The only passage I added there today was Nahum, because a secular media said there was a discovery of that written on a parchment. For those who understand how God, who don't get how God talks, you think he only talks to, hey, you there, God said. No, this is how God talks. This is how God grabs your attention. This is how God reassures you. It says, I am talking to you. You better give heed. I want you to understand that it's not therefore a God's lighthouse matter that the fire is coming. It's not a God's lighthouse matter. How many of you know what happening soon. What you call the season of Easter. What festival that is? God's festival. Say? The Passover. Those dates are what you call Easter. Easter is the pagan celebration associated with Ishtar, Ashtoreth, demon goddess of the Sidonians and all of those guys. Nonsense. Passover is the feast of God, which it's always about that time. But unfortunately, in the Bible attempting to be made to integrate into the practices of the time, they talked about Easter. But, you know, the pagan rituals that were substituted for Christian celebrations, Christmas, Hanukkah, or just, you know, the feast of this. And so they are what the Bible calls the feast of God. People call them Jewish feasts. They are not. The Bible calls them the feasts of God. And in all those seasons, we saw it last year. We saw it happen during the Feast of Trumpets. And we were led to pray up to that season. Because during those seasons, in God's timetable, things happen. I've heard about these things for very many years. I never make an effort to be involved, you know, because I used to think Jewish feast. So till God will lead us to participate, to be doing one thing or the other, and we find out, I would find out later that it was on the same date that this was happening. And we, you know how you're doing something with a plan, with your head, and the Holy Spirit is doing something, and you look back before you realize that, wait, it was the same date, it was the same timing. God actually wants us to pay attention. So it's just in the last year, towards around September, October, that you could say officially, this house officially came together and prayed in line with the season on God's calendar for the first time. The Passover is coming. In a week or plus. Is it up to week? What's today? 22nd? 3rd? 23rd? So about just very soon. And all over the world, people are going to be gathered to seek the Lord one way or the other. What will happen? I don't know. I don't know what will happen. But I've kept having this matter before my eyes about judgments coming. I've been wondering for some weeks now. I've kept having it come before my eyes, and I've been wondering, God, is there some, are we meant to expect some disaster? All this thing about God arising. Before that, I kept seeing, kept wondering, is something coming to Nigeria? And I may have hinted it, I may have said it out, maybe. What day is the 28th? What day? Sunday is the 28th, March 28th. So, the Feast of Unleavened Bread takes off from about March the 28th, which is to the third of April, which will be all of next week, from Sunday. During that time, you know, if you're looking at all the things the Holy Spirit has been talking to us about, leprosy, about this and that, during that time, there's no leaven meant to be in your houses. There's not meant to be any leaven in the houses of Israelites. There's not supposed to be the leaven of malice or hypocrisy. That's what 1 Corinthians 5 refers to as leaven. Malice, hypocrisy, sin. basically. We are not supposed to have that in our midst. In case you still have leftover crumbs of this nonsense, get rid of it. Get rid of it completely. There's a time for everything. We have to be wise people. We have to be wise people. We have to be precise. We have to learn to identify what God is saying and doing and line up with it. Don't be, the sons of Isaac knew the seasons, what Israel ought to do. Very many people live today like it doesn't matter. If you know me, if you read the passage in Romans 14, it says that to one man, one day is holy, to another man, every day is the same. I am the guy that every day is the same. I've lived like that all my life. I've been born again for a while. I've practiced, you know, the Bible says to one person, there's a holy day, to another, every day is the same. I am officially, I've opened, how many of you have heard me preach that for years? I am the guy to whom every day is holy. I refuse to do days. I refuse to say today is a special day. We can find God specially today. I have fought all my life. So my attitude is, why are you going to be, what makes one day better than another? Paul said in his gospel that you shouldn't judge. I shouldn't judge people who consider some day special. I shouldn't put them down. I shouldn't say they are wrong or this and that, if to them it's special. And he also said to them, don't judge the ones that are like me, who say every day is a day God has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. I practice it so in my thinking so much that if you live in my house, it's your birthday. I might say, oh, this is your birthday. Okay, at most we pray for you. Typically, I'll forget that. I forget my birthday. Pray for you and that's it. And on an ordinary day like this, nothing is happening. I'll just buy cake. That's it. Let's eat it. Nothing. Whose birthday? Nobody. Why are we eating cake? It's a day the Lord has made. You should rejoice and be glad in it. It's my thinking. And I take it seriously. I feel like being happy. Okay, so let's be happy today. You notice this church has no fixed days for anything. Oh, this day, our annual, our monthly. We've never had anything like that. But we've had many special days where we came out like an ordinary day and the Holy Spirit said, today is special. We don't even know why it's special. We just rejoice a lot. This is how we have been. This is how the overseer of this house has operated. Now, having laid that foundation, to all of you that ask, I am, I've also grown to discover that there are times and there are seasons when in the spirit realm, things are different. These things existed before you were born. They existed before the nation of Israel became a nation. Understand this, that the heavens declare God's handiwork. He created the sun, the moon, and the stars not to light things first, not for light. Verse 14. But for times and seasons. That's their primary duty. They are markers like the hands of a clock. They are telling you things. They are identifying seasons. And then they can give you some light too. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. First day, God said, let there be light. And he distinguished the light from the darkness. Day one. Day four, let there be the sun, the moon, and the stars. Different business. It was the evening and it was the morning. Three times before they created the sun, the moon, and the stars. Why are there times and seasons? Because in the domain of God, which is all things, the kingdom of God, the mighty kingdom of God, there are his ways and his thoughts. You, human beings, you were just brought in along the way. God already had what he was doing. What is a year? 365 days. Who determined that that marks a year? 365 is the calendar we use. It's actually 360. 30 times 12 in the old calendar. It's why the calendar is different. The solar calendar, the lunar calendar. The calendar the most of the world uses now is a Gregorian calendar. It's different. We try to divide, but it still doesn't work. So we have a leap year where you make up the tiny pieces and it creates one another day, 365 days for that year. But others are 366, a leap year, then 365. So why does that happen? It's a different kind of calendar. The normal calendar the Jews use and others, they follow the movement of the moon and all of that. And it marks. It's why you can't say Passover is always this day every year. No, it moves. It's a lunar calendar. It looks how many times did the moon go down, come back, how many times? Aha! The new moon has showed its face. Good. The present moon. Yes. It's time to celebrate that. God has calendars. God has a calendar. He actually operates according to a calendar. So if you get to hear all the things that happen on certain dates, you will know that the calendar matters. There's no randomness. God doesn't do things randomly. Jesus is not just born at any time. Things don't just happen. He's born at a particular time. These people look up when that star hits this place, and this, the one who is born king of the Jews, shall come. And they followed it all the way from the east and got there and asked, where is the one born? For we have seen his star. But in your films, your star was moving. Not exactly like that. Your cartoons. Yeah. The stars aligned a certain way. Real things happen based on the calendars of God. He speaks through them. I've told you how these Passovers and Pentecost and Tabernacles are fixed. It's the positioning of the heavenly bodies which were given for times and seasons. So while we celebrate every day as the day the Lord has made, there are seasons where there's extra grace available. How does God help us understand it? He helps you understand it with stories like, all right, quick thought. Psalm 12 verse 6 says that every word of God is what? Like silver refined in a furnace of earth. 7 times. You hear that? Silver refined. Refined silver is 7 times, it said, because there's not just 24 karat gold, there's multiple levels of refining. There's multiple levels of refining. If you understand that, you will comprehend that the word of God, you can read the book of Esther, all you see is the story of how Haman was dealt with, and that's a level. There's another level you can read the book of Esther, just layers upon layers, and you see that the king is the Lord Jesus. Vashti is Israel, who they said, come. She said, I know, come. She was a bit too secure. She didn't have Romans 11 and know that the natural branches can be broken off. Esther is the church who comes and complies and becomes queen. Are you listening? I'm not going to say everything. I just want to comment on the king there. The king, that king, her husband, who puts her through these periods of purification. Puts her through purification. 6 months here. See, multiple ones go through it. The only one is picked as queen. They are called overcomers. She overcame. She won. Everyone competes to win. But one takes the prize. Now, using our king here, look at King Xerxes. This is what happened during the time of Xerxes. The Xerxes who ruled over 127 provinces, stretching from India to Kush. At that time, King Xerxes reigned from his royal throne in the citadel of Susa. And in the third year of his reign, which year? In the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials. Say banquet. The military leaders of Persia and Media, the princes and the nobles of the provinces were present. For a full 180 days, he displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. 180 days? How? What do you want to do about it? There's nothing you can do about it. He chose to do so. Is it your money? It's worrying you? How much is 180 days times 2? 180 is what? 360. That's 6 months. For 6 months. 360, I've told you, is the normal year. All before recent times. With this Gregorian calendar. He displayed the vast wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and glory of his majesty. When these days were over, the king gave a banquet. What was he doing before? Lasting 7 days. Say 7 days.
7 days.
At the end of these days, he gave a 7-day banquet. That's why I was bringing you. In the enclosed garden of the king's palace for all the people, from the least to the greatest, who were in the citadel of Susa. The garden had hangings of white and blue. Say white and blue. Fastened with cords of white linen and purple. Say purple. I'm not explaining anything. I'm just like pulling your legs. Fastened with cords of white and linen, purple and purple material to silver rings on marble pillars. There were couches of gold and silver on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Wine was served in goblets of gold, each one different from the other. And the royal wine was abundant in keeping with the king's liberality, generosity. By the king's command, each guest was allowed to drink without restriction. For the king instructed all the wine stewards to serve each man what he wished. Sounds like a big bash. Holy Spirit all over the place. Just forget Esther for a while. Forget carnality. Forget your humanity. And see with the eyes of the Spirit. All those numbers are not random numbers. They are not mistaken. They didn't mistakenly spend exactly half the year. And he didn't mistakenly spend 7 days. Wasn't mistaken. I have to leave this place so I don't enter trouble. Let me just add three small. On the seventh day, when the king Xerxes was in high spirits from wine, he commanded the 7 eunuchs. Anyway, they're not 10 eunuchs. Couldn't they be 8? What about 3? Mm-mm. Because around the throne of God, there are the 7 spirits of God. The pictures are important. They contain messages, all of them, to bring before him Queen Vashti, wearing her royal crown, in order to display her beauty to the people and nobles. You see, by the time you see Queen New Jerusalem in the book of Revelations, you have to know there was another that was rejected for her to be exalted. Small. Revelations 21:9. One of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls full of the 7 last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper clear as crystal. And it had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gate. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, on the north, on the south, on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations. On them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And they had lots of interesting precious stones. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now, I just want us to understand this, that when certain seasons come, wine is available without measure. Are you listening? It wasn't so all the time, but during those 7 days, in the preceding 6 months, there was him showing off his power and authority. But in those last 7 days, everyone could partake. All the vessels of gold were different. They weren't identical. They didn't mass produce a kind of golden goblet. The Bible tells you all of them were different. What does that tell you? We are under one spirit, but there's diversity of administration. The vessels are people. If any man shall pour himself of these things, shall be a vessel unto honor, fit for. Say king. Say the king's use. He thought the master was who? You? You are all brethren. You have one master. Matthew 22. That's why they were all different. Because God is going to fill up his vessels and he's going to feed wine to the inhabitants of his city without measure. Ah, Jesus, this is not what we are doing now. We are doing fire. But the Bible is very sweet. And we need to pray again. Now, the Lord is coming with fire. And you don't have a choice. He's going to arise at a particular time. The little exhortation I gave you is kind of prepare your mind for even the next. I suspect that from Sunday, we'll just pray every day. This place is far. I don't know. We ought to be at the farm. Space. We need space. We need to come together, everyone. So I don't know what, if you have visitors, they'll have to come to the farm on Sunday. Oh dear God, there are people that gather there. We ask them to leave quickly. Ah, we need a hall. We need a place. Someone should find a place. Does a church meet in this unit, this Onyemagochukwu hall? On Sunday morning. What do? The hall stays empty. Ah, why not? You should find out if you can hire, rent it or something. I like us to ask for it. Because I like everybody to come together on Sunday morning. Now, it marked 7 days of unleavened bread. 7 days. Now, I know the retreat is supposed to start at the end of the week, in the official retreat, but I want us to pray every day. Unleavened bread, present yourself to the Lord. The Bible tells you, we'll discuss it with preaching in the past, you get rid of all leaven from your houses. Nothing is left. You clean up completely. No room. It's the beginning of the year in the spirit. There are 2 years. Remember, sacred year, civil year. The head of the year began, they call the head of the year, trumpet, when it's blown. But the civil year follows. So it's like there are two heads, two beginnings. One is the end, that is the beginning. This one is the beginning, it's the first, it comes after the first harvest, the barley harvest. Passover. And this is when Jesus said, take this and drink. Take this and eat. I believe God wants to do amazing things, but we must be ready. You can't, those guys got ready for 180 days in preparation for 7 days. Hallelujah. Let's get ready. Let your heart be completely attuned to getting ready. Because the Lord is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. What's that song from 2 weeks ago? And you're sitting down. The King is coming. Coming, the King is coming. Can you say? The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. Do you believe it now? The King is coming. The King is coming. Can you see? Coming. The King is coming. The King is coming, the King is coming, the King is coming. One more time. The King is coming, the King is coming today. Very soon the King is coming. The King is coming, the King is coming. The children are calling, your children calling our Lord. Children calling for you. Oh, the children calling, the children calling. The people are shouting, oh, the people shouting to the Lord, for your love. The people shouting, the people shouting, the people shouting. The angels are singing, the angels sing, angels sing. To the Lord. Oh, every day. The angels singing, the angels singing. Psalm 19 says, the heavens are speaking. The heavens speaking, the heavens speaking every day. The heavens speaking, the heavens speaking. The wine is flowing, say, the wine is flowing, the wine is flowing to his people. The wine is flowing every day. The seasons are closing. It's the end of the age. The seasons closing. The seasons closing every day. The seasons closing on the way. The seasons are closing. Seasons closing. The seasons closing. Your people are crying. Your people cry. Your people crying for your presence. Welcome our Father. Oh, the people crying. The people are crying. The people are crying. From the heart, let your glory come. Now listen, every passage we read or I had ready to read and share and pray from was confirmed this morning to me by a discovery in Israel that the king is coming, and is coming with judgment, with rage, with violence against those who do not fear him, with action. And yesterday we talked about preparing, because when that fire comes, it devours, Psalm 97, all his enemies. So you don't want to be an enemy, or he becomes a fragrance of death to you instead of life. The mountains quake before him, the hills melt. Mountains speak of government, big and small, mountains and hills. I'm just giving you spiritual typologies. Mountains. In the last days, Zatu, the mountain of the Lord's house will be exalted above all the other mountains. So governments are often represented as mountains. When he shows, they will melt, they will shake, they will quake. The mountains quake before him. Let me read it in the newly discovered parchment. The mountains tremble. The mountains quake because of him, and the hills melt. The earth heaves before him. I've told you, every year there are more earthquakes. Every single year it keeps increasing compared to the past recent times. Earthquakes constantly increasing. The earth, why is that happening? Because the Lord is coming. As the days draw closer, his approach increases. The very earth itself is reacting to the coming king. Don't wait till you see a bright light in the sky, because the Lord is carrying out his process. It's a very gradual process, like the sun rising in the east. It's very gradual, almost imperceptible. But every time you look up, it's closer. And the Bible tells you that that's how his coming will be. Said as the, your fortunate, as the outshining, the outshining rises from the east and sets in the west. There's only one thing that does that. It's the sun, east to west. And Psalm 50 tells you about the coming of Lord, like a man running his race, a strong man running his race, that he comes out and he traverses the heavens. And that's what's playing out on the earth. The world and all that dwell therein. It's not just the earth heaving. It's the world and all that dwell therein that are responding to the coming of the Lord. A lot of the upheavals happening all over the world and are going to keep happening is because the Lord is coming. Remember in the book of Revelation 12, it says, warn to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down with great wrath, because he knows his time is short. So the earth, there will be all this activity. There's a time, the Bible tells in the book of Revelation, that people will say, let the rocks fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who is coming. We cannot be amongst those that are hiding. We are amongst the ones that will say, come Jesus. We will join the Spirit. The bride will join the Spirit and say, come Lord Jesus. We are the ones who will lift up our eyes, because our redemption draws near. We will rejoice, yes? But you will not rejoice if you are not ready. He will be a source of great terror to you. We just read Isaiah 33. The sinners, in verse 14, in Zion are afraid. Trembling seizes hold. You will not want him. You will rue the day you existed if you are a sinner in the day he comes. He will give you no pleasure. All the empty talk that people open their mouths and say, please let Jesus do and come. When that time comes, look at small presence of God. You feel like hiding under the carpet. How much more when he really shows? All sinners will not welcome his coming. He will be the source of the greatest terror. Kept seeing today. He said, do not fear him, Matthew 10, that can only destroy your body. That this is the one you should fear. The one that will destroy not just your body, but your soul in hell. Fear him. He very clearly said those words. fear him. And what he said was, when they hand you over and they persecute you because of my sake, he said, don't worry that they are doing that to you. Don't be afraid of those people that are causing you pain because of my name. Fear the one. So when you consider the fears, choose which fear you will fear. And fear the proper fear. There is one you should fear. The one who has the ability to deal with you on this earth, in this age, and deal with you in the next also. Not the ones that can only do you harm in this age. Their power is extremely limited. Who can stand before his wrath? Who can resist his fury? And then he tells you how it's going to happen. His anger pours out like fire, and rocks are shattered because of him. Rocks are shattered because of him. The people will be burned to ashes like thorn bushes. They will be set ablaze. That's Isaiah 33. Why? Because you conceived chaff and gave birth to straw. What's chaff? The words that are not the words of the Lord. Jeremiah 23. Calls them chaff. How do you compare the chaff to the seed? You conceive chaff, you give birth to straw. All useless. To conceive is getting pregnant. You conceive chaff. You come up with some empty thing. Chaff is the husk, the cover of your rice, your beans. All that, those cut the covering of that. That part you throw away, that you separate. That's chaff. It says when you conceive chaff. I've told you, Jeremiah 20. The chaff. When you say, thus said the Lord, when the Lord has not said, he calls it chaff. He said, is not my word a fire and a hammer that breaks rocks? And you go comparing my word to chaff. The words of men are chaff. Men are constantly conceiving things. May you never have the misfortune of pursuing the things men have conceived. May you not ignore the clear words of God and run after the empty words of men. Because the scripture promises you that in verse 10, now will I arise, says the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I be lifted up. In other words, I've been keeping quiet since. I've been staying low since. A time is coming. I am arising. And when he arises, everybody on earth will be struggling to keep up. We are just a group of people who want to be ready and running with the Lord. That's what I am about. I don't know what you're about, but that's what I am about. I do not want the Lord to be up and going and I discover I've been. Look at what happens to the chaff. You conceive chaff, give birth to straw. Your breath is a fire that consumes you. Your breath. What happens when you talk? Your breath goes up. You open your mouth and out of it, you're creating combustible material that will burn you up. Have you not read 1 Corinthians 3? It says the day of the Lord will reveal it for every man. Wood, hay, stubble will be burned in the fire. Gold, silver, precious stones will survive. The people will be burned to ashes, he says, like cut thorn bushes. They will be set ablaze. That's what happens when what you have is chaff and straw. You will just be fuel. The bad type, you will be fuel. You will be something you don't like in that day. People, how do we avoid this? Let me give you a prayer point. 2 minutes. And we pray one or two other things. And we go. Jeremiah 23 says, let me read from verse 16. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. Ooh, why? Don't listen to them, he says. Remember last week when we were praying? He said, this is the kind of prophets these people like, the one that prophesies wine and beer. And they say, don't tell us these things. God is not like that. Our God cannot do these things. You remember? Where did we read that? Micah. Micah chapter 2. Verse 6, 7, 8. We prayed in line with these things. We saw that there are two kinds of prophets. The ones that prophesy what you like, and the ones that prophesy what the Lord is saying. If you push away the ones that bring the word of the Lord, you end up with the ones. Jeremiah 23:16. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds. Because they are visions that come. May no, oh God, prayer point. 30 seconds. May I never speak visions from my mind. Pray. May you not be a false prophet. Jesus, Lord, your judgment will be worse. Lord, may I speak no false vision. May I not speak visions from my mind. May I not generate chaff. Oh God, may this mind and mouth never generate chaff. May I be unable to bring forth falsehood. May I be unable to utter lies. May I lose the capacity to speak that which is untrue. Oh God! My mouth be the Lord. You belong to the Lord. May no lie be found in my lips. May I serve no man. Great God, watch my lips, Jesus. Amen. May you pray this prayer all your life. And you better practice it small. If you can't speak the truth to little people who can do nothing to you, what will happen when God sends you before kings? People that you can give a word and they send assassins after you, what will you do? Okay, the ones that when you speak a word that they are pleased with, they give you 10 million and or send you away empty-handed if they are displeased. Or attack you in the newspapers, come against you with the force of government. If you struggle to speak the truth to people who can do nothing to you, what will you do when you encounter those who can do something to you? Can you be a Micaiah? Scripture says they speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord, because that's the only place we are to get visions from, the mouth of the Lord. Out of the Lord's mouth, Proverbs 2:6 says, comes wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. There's a quality, there's a way you're to test these things. But if you don't care, you want to be man pleaser. God says beautiful and calming and comforting things. Yes, prophecy is for exhortation and comfort to men. Exhortation may be hard. With many such words, he exhorted them, John did. Edification builds men up. Exhortation and comfort. Jeremiah had told you, many Bibles say, instead of saying exhortation, it says encouragement. So it's all sweet. And therefore, there are official positions taken by church groups and preachers saying that no prophecy can be negative. I've heard a top servant, head of a large church group, say that God can never say something negative to another Christian, that there can't be a prophetic word that is a negative word. Never. God never does that. Even though the Bible is full of such things. It's a prophecy under the New Testament. The prophecy that Peter gave Sapphira, was it positive? It was fulfilled immediately. It ended with her dead. The husband got a word too. And what about all the words from Peter and Paul saying in the last days, the Spirit speaks expressly that this is how people shall be. I've told you he was not talking about normal people, because that list of sins, normal people have always committed them. He was talking about Christians. He was talking about the church, that in the church, men will be lovers of themselves and not lovers of God. He wasn't talking about unbelievers. Unbelievers already did not love God. All those lists, disobedient to parents, disobedient, all that. He was talking that in the last days, in the church, there will be people that are just like the normal people of the world. Do you understand this? You must continually beg God, and don't just beg. You must practice speaking the truth in love to those who love God and those who do not. In case the day comes when God tells you something to tell someone that is not nice, if you have not practiced at all, how will you be able to go from rubbing people's backs day and night? The Bible tells you, don't call them snakes and vipers, children of snakes, brood of vipers. That's what it means. And with many such words did he exhort them. So exhortation is not always nice. He who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Men hear it and are convicted of their sins and repent. To build up the church has part of pulling down. You don't do any building without some pulling down. You have to tear up things for a structure to go up. That's common sense. You can't just build on everything you meet. It's so scary how people strive against common sense to take a position that is man-pleasing. But a day will come. God decrees judgment against all such things. The Bible says, they keep saying to those who despise me. This is how you know the person is speaking a vision from their mind. Immediate test. They keep saying to those who despise God, the Lord says you will have peace. Very easy. So when you see someone, their words are always sweet. You see them call out one sinner like this that you know have in your class or room. You know, everybody knows this person is not correct. Everybody knows this man is a very wicked man. And he comes to a program, he says, excuse me, sir, yes, the Lord is saying he's going to exalt you. If you like, believe it. If you like, say no, but he said it. How many of you have been in situations where you wondered why the Lord would say such a thing about such a wicked person? Raise your hand. Only these 10 hands. I'll give you another chance. I know you're looking spiritual. How many of you have been in a situation where someone got a prophecy and you were in shock? You're like, is it that God doesn't know this person is not a better person? Raise your hand. You want me to define for you what a false vision is? I will not. Let Jeremiah do it. You can attack him. They keep saying, they don't do it once. It's habitual. It's not that God, who is very nice and can give rain to wicked people too. They keep doing it, repeated, habitually. They zoom in. They keep saying to those who despise me, people that despise God, you know this person does not fear God at all. This person does not have God's sense. They keep saying to them, the Lord says, you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. Come out. We are going to pray. No harm will come to you. Amen. No harm will come to you. That's a vision of their mind. Because God doesn't do things like this. You can reject Jeremiah as they rejected him during his time. Or you can accept him. He's dead. You can accept him now. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or hear his word? So how do you get God's word? You stand in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear. I will stand upon my watch and see what the Lord will say. There's a price. I'll stand on my watch. Watch and pray. You can't just pray. Church, pray. No. Watch. You don't know what to pray. You must watch in the spirit. Spirit knows the mind, the deep things of God. You pray according to the will of God. You must watch. Fire is coming. We must stand and know what and how to prepare. Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. So if you have told the wicked, no harm shall come to you, very soon you shall be proven wrong. Because the Lord promises a storm and you burst out on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. You see, if you had stood in his counsel, you would have revealed to them his heart. And they would have known what to expect. I'm sure you want to know what to expect, so we can align before it arrives. In days to come, you will understand it clearly. Did you just hear? You hear these guys quote me? In days to come, you will understand it clearly. You see, it's in the Bible. I've been telling you. You will believe. It will be clear. Your eye will be like, mmm. You may not understand now. How many of you want to understand now? Say, God, help me understand now. If you have 30 seconds. Lord, I want to understand now. Lord, please, let me understand now. I don't want to understand it then. I don't want to understand when it's too late. I want to understand now. I want to understand now, Lord God. Open my eyes. Let me stand in your counsel. 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 Oh, our God, let me stand in your counsel. Hey, the Lord will accomplish fully the purposes of his heart. In the name of Jesus. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. 30 seconds. God, may I never prophesy when God has not spoken. Deliver me from human pressure. Deliver me from a desire to impress. Oh, read me completely. I do not want to be chaff that is burned up. Read me from impressing men. Oh God, let me not open my mouth and insist on saying something. Oh God, deliver me from pride. Oh God, let me not run when you are not running. Let me not talk when you are not speaking. Jesus, help me. Amen. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and would have torn them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. One of the clearest signs that someone is standing in the counsel of the Lord is that people turn from their evil ways and evil deeds. It's easy. It's not hard. So again, you go to a church group, wherever you find yourself, and there's a lot of sinning. Somebody is not standing in the counsel of the Lord. Ah, this man's ministry. Are people turning from sin and evil deeds? Not just words, deeds. If they are not turning, if there's a very small group, in fact, you see some groups where it seems there are many people, some people in the church more holy than the pastor and the majority. Everybody gangs up against them. I don't know what they are doing there. It's very easy to know he who has not been standing in the counsel of the Lord. And you don't have to be what they officially call a prophet. Simply, anyone that claims to speak, who is a prophet? I wish that all God's people were prophets. Anyone would prophesy who speaks the words of God. Not the office of prophet, but every child of God is supposed to prophesy. Everyone. I wish that you all would prophesy. The Bible says you should be speaking the mind. Let him that speaks speak as the oracles of God. When your mouth opens, it should be the words of God and nothing else. You can't open your mouth and speak like Satan. You can't give advice to your brother or sister and it is not what God would say. You can't tell him, brother, this is what you should do with her. Eh? You have a devil in you. You have spoken what you like. Your counsel should be drawn from afar, from heaven. You don't open your mouth carelessly. But to get the thoughts of God, which are as far as heaven is from the earth, you have to stand in his counsel. You have to wait on your watch. to see what the Lord will say. There's a price to pay. It's why it's so scarce. Because people are not willing to stand. They're in a haste to see. You're in a hurry to utter words. Even in the church that I'm responsible for here, even with whatever many years of experience I've had as a Christian, people speak to me, ask me questions, and I'm not in a haste to answer them at all. Sometimes I have an answer 2 weeks later, sometimes 2 months later. Sometimes they think I've forgotten. Sometimes I have forgotten, and they ought to ask again. But many times I remember, but I don't have the answer, and I don't say anything. Must you say something? Say, I don't know. Point them, direct them to someone else. That desire, that devilish inclination to give counsel carelessly. You're preparing to be a false prophet as you grow older and maybe step into any office the Lord appoints you. You're going to cause great havoc. And the day of judgment will be a horrible day for you. Because you will habitually give people ungodly counsel. May you be delivered from a desire to give counsel without standing in the council. Pray. God, deliver me. Deliver me. Deliver me. The day of fire should not meet me unprepared. Deliver me from careless counsel. Help me rather to stand in your counsel. May I stand in your counsel. May I stand in your counsel to bring the word of the Lord only. God, rid me of the pride of heart that cares not to bring reckless thoughts to speak my words. Jesus, help me not be a stumbling block. Jesus, help me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, purify my mind. Help me stand in your counsel to wait in the name of Jesus. He goes on to talk about being a God nearby and who can hide in secret places so I cannot see them. Don't I feel heaven and earth? Verse 25. I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream. I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They prophesy the delusions of their own minds. They think a delusion is a lie, a false picture. They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name. So there's a quality of dream, you know, came from their minds. Is it making people forget the name of the Lord in any way? Is someone sharing a revelation that makes you forget scripture or look down on scripture? Is that revelation, people, I saw and the Lord and what you're saying, there are 20 scriptures that are against what you just say you dreamt. If it is contrary to the word of God, you have just been fed a delusion of the mind of a prophet. If you follow it, you will regret it. Do not say they did not have dreams. 2 Thessalonians 2 tells you that God will hand people that did not have a love for the truth. His word is truth. Listen, this should be clear to you. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. Therefore, God will give them over to a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. God will give them over, just like he gave over the prophets of Ahab, 400 of them, to a strong delusion. And they believed a lie. Only Micaiah escaped that. How could 400 be wrong and one be right? It has happened before, and there's nothing new under the sun. What is has been, what is will be. It will occur again. There will be many who will believe a lie because they did not have a love for the truth. Your heart must hunger for the truth day and night, and there will be no space for a lie. But if you're reckless and you don't care and you're open-minded to anything, you want to impress, you want to be among those who are saying what is pleasing to those in power and so on, lies will come to your heart and you will believe them. I'm teaching those who will listen to those lies how to distinguish. Does it make people forget the name of the Lord through Baal worship? They make my people forget my name just as their ancestors forgot my name through Baal worship. Gods of fertility and power and provision. You want to have power? Christians must have power. Like Paul, Peter, John ran after. Be careful what you believe. Because these things I'm describing are already all over the earth. And I've been in the church for centuries. Just that in recent times, before it was a few people that held that power for more than 1,000 years, the Roman church. But from the time of the charismatic moves, everybody has been told, you too are entitled. So what was once the exclusive preserve of a few corrupt-minded individuals is now available to all, and everybody is running after it and believing it is God. You've been handed over to a strong delusion. You will believe a lie. You will not know the truth, because the words, John 7:17, my word is truth. He is clear. My word is truth. These are the words of God. What advantage then had the Jews? Romans 3. To them was given the words of God. This is it. It's contained here. These contain the words of God. The words of God. You see someone that forgets the words of God and goes for other things, comes telling you a revelation he had. God showed me this. As he's saying it, if you know the word, you know, but that thing you say God showed you is contrary to the word of God. Why do you hold on to it? Let the prophet who has a dream recount the dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. May the church be open again all over Nigeria. Everybody is running, looking for people they call prophets. I've heard of people who open the Bible and speak for 2 minutes and spend the rest of all the meeting saying prophesy. And that's what they've done for years. They say, I'm not for this thing. Me, I'm a prophet. I'm not given to. And all they do, you. Oh, I can assure you, many of them, it's not even a prophetic gift. It's juju power, direct. No, I'm not accusing. I'm telling you, they know where they went. It's a pure demonic power. Then there are those that are sincere, but very confused. They truly have a gift from God, but they don't understand. Let the one who has a dream tell your dream. When you say, I had a dream, I don't know what it means. Stop there. But he that has God's word, speak it faithfully. And if that word came as a revelation, you've tested it and it's the word of the Lord. You've confirmed it's the word of the Lord. Others, you've put it through the test. Scripturally, it's on point. Others had the same thing. The fruit is godly, the fruit of the Spirit. Time has proven it to be right. And time has proven that when God speaks to you like this, it is him, etc. Bring that word, S-O-F-T, bring that word faithfully. Don't tamper with it, don't add to it, don't say it must mean this. It may not mean what you think. Just deliver it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord. So you see, when it's from your mind, it's straw. When it's from God, it's grain, seed. It can be planted and grow. Chaff, straw, does not grow into anything. Are you understanding? It does not bear fruit unto eternal life, declares the Lord. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. That's the word of God. It's like a hammer. It has impact. It's why people don't like it. It's like fire. It burns up things that you may deem precious. It's why people don't like it. Do you want God's fire to come? If you want God's fire to come, you must get rid of your chaff. Last prayer points. I read that the Lord is coming. And you're wondering, should we dwell? Should we pray on that he should come? No. You're wondering why we are not praying those passages. You can't do anything about it. He's coming. He told you, now I will arise. Now I will come. Everywhere we read, he said he's coming. He is coming. You can't stop him. All you can do is get ready for his coming. Ask the Lord, how do you want to be when he arrives? We read in Isaiah 33. Go back and read it. Ask God. Whatever chaff you have embraced, which is useless, by the way, all the chaff you have swallowed, believed, well, since you were a little child, that God should help you just trash it now, that there's still a chance, and hurry and create a love in your heart for the truth, that you will embrace true grain, you embrace the hammer, you embrace the fire of his word today, so that by the time it comes, you will not be a land that will be crushed to burning, as Hebrews 6 says. But when it comes, you'll be a land that had borne fruit that is pleasing to the one that planted it. If you bring forth thorns and briars, a fiery judgment is what the Bible says. In the New Testament, after the cross, he promises you that fiery judgment is all you have expectation of. Pray, God, I want to love the truth day and night. I want nothing else but the truth. Only the truth. I can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Give me grain. Give me the hammer. Give me the fire. Don't give me anything else. I do not want lies. I do not want pleasant dreams. I do not want what appears pleasing to my soul. I want the truth. Lord, please give me the truth. Help me hold under the truth. Help me bear up under the truth. Help me embrace the truth. Truth is what I desire. The truth that makes men free. Send me the truth day and night. Send me nothing but the truth. Keep me away from lies. Keep me away from falsehood. Keep me away from those who deceive me. Keep me away from those who lie to me. Keep my heart away from the false and wicked. Give me the truth. Send me carriers of truth. Give me those who love the truth. Direct my path to those who fear the truth. God Almighty, give us truth, O God. Night, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Lord Almighty, from friends, from foes, from family, oh God, from your spirit, oh God, oh God, oh God. Amen. I want to pray for you for a second, but listen to me. We are done, but hear me. Some people have demons of lies. Hear me. Hear how these demons of lies work. When you hear the truth, you feel a physical revulsion. It causes all over the church of God. There are people that once they are in the presence of someone that is bringing truth, they physically can react. They can react physically. Everything goes bad. Within them, they feel sick. It's a demon. I'm telling you, there are demons that make sure. Some that you don't even need to get there. They make sure they know. Where did you say they hear you talking now? Oh, they saw when someone from a proper preacher came near you and invited you. They will create 1,000 reasons why you don't go to that place. Because the truth, when you go to a place where people have been standing in the counsel of the Lord, you will stop evil. They dare not allow you. So they'll come up with 1,000 reasons why you cannot listen to that audio message, watch that particular video, go for that particular conference. You have the capacity to go for anything else. You find yourself greatly excited about a night of 1,000 laughs. You have great attraction to all that is fake and chaff. But the truth, no now, what are we doing here? If you share for 30 minutes, max 40 minutes is enough. Someone cannot be listening. But if they are joking, they bring a comedian to that church and he tells jokes for 3 hours, you go back with great joy. Today's meeting was, I wish they would do this more. Don't you know you're already handed about, you have something. People listened to Jesus for 3 days and wouldn't move. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. A hunger for the truth is the key to all the things we've spoken about. You have safety in the truth. The truth makes free. I want you to lift your hands wherever you are hearing this now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that all who have been afflicted with a spirit that is averse to truth, once it starts playing from any preacher, local or international, once they come across a book with truth, once they come across an audio message with truth, once they come across anyone with the truth, a million reasons come up why they will not listen. Some say, I will listen later. All sorts of things. Everyone afflicted by wicked spirits like that. At the word of the Lord right now, as the owners of the body want it, I enforce it on the earth, witnessing with heaven that for this reason, the Son of God was revealed to destroy the work of Satan. You spirit of lies, fall away! Yeah. Let the fire of God, the words of my mouth now, hammer you to a pulp till you are gone. Let it like a fire catch hold on you and burn till you are gone. The word of the Lord is against you. Unclean spirit, be burned up.
Amen.
Depart these lives. Depart, depart, depart. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive clarity of sight and hearing.
Amen.
Receive grace to stand upon your watch. And to only embrace the truth.
Amen.
Receive the ability to comprehend the distinction between the truth and a lie.
Amen.
That lack of clarity, that inability to distinguish between good and evil. Lose that. Receive grace now.
Amen.
No more confusion about a false prophet and a true one. Let the power of greed, Baal worship, that enforces this, let all this be broken. Father,
amen.
Let your goodness be upon your people.
Amen.
Let this freedom flow over not just them, but to their families.
Amen.
To your families.
Amen.
To your families.
Amen.
Your brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers.
Amen.
Demons of lies. Be burnt out of those houses.
Amen.
Lord, you promise you save us and our households.
Amen.
Be it unto us according to your words.
Amen.
Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. God, God, God. Oh, we bless your name, oh God. We give you glory and honor. We rejoice in your goodness. We delight in your love. We are glad for your mercy. Thank you, Abba Father. We worship you. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for grace. Thank you for kindness. Thank you for your fire. Help us prepare.
Amen.
God bless you.
We pray you receive eyes to see, ears to hear, and an understanding heart. Remember, test all things and hold fast to what is good. For more information, visit our website at gods-lighthouse.org.